God's word this morning, I just want to kind of give you an update real quick on our Home of Hope that we launched this December. It was our Christmas offering, our Christmas giving, and there's been some amazing progress thanks to your obedience in honoring God and being faithful in your giving towards this project, towards the Christmas project. We announced how there was a lady that attends our church, Elizabeth Deckard, who's a widow, and lining up its scripture, we decided that we were going to step in and help impact help build her a home because she was living in a place that was not the most amazing place. And so God opened some doors, stirred our hearts, and you guys stepped up. And since then, yeah, you guys have been seeing some of the photographs. We've had progress. It has been so awesome. This past Friday, they actually poured concrete from the stem walls, and next week they'll start framing. Our goal, we are partnering with Pitt State and the construction team. Our goal is to have the house framed, roofed, before they graduate in May. So we've got a few weeks to kind of knock this out, and they're on mission. Most of these students that are on the project actually attend Flag Church and are in counterculture. Some of them started attending counterculture after they started working on this project. Isn't that so cool how God works out those details? And we'll take time to recognize them before they graduate. All of them have jobs lined up already. But here are some cool things. You were obedient. You were faithful in giving, and many of you have pledged to give throughout the year 2024. I want to encourage you of that pledge that you made. Be faithful in the little that God has called you to do. Because when you are faithful in the little that God has called you to do, He shows up in big ways. And we've seen that throughout this project. I haven't had a chance because of all of the various things to update you. But since you said yes, since you gave on the Christmas offering, since you have been giving on a monthly, weekly basis, God opened some doors. This project was going to cost us about $120,000. You guys pledged about $75,000. Okay. Let's celebrate that. That is awesome. Okay, but there is a little gap there, right? We were stepping out in faith. But since you said yes and you stepped out, we had a family in the church that works with HVAC that showed up and said, hey, we'll take care of the whole HVAC, which was about $7,500. Can we praise God? Since you guys said yes, we have to pour concrete, which is about $11,000 ticket price. But this past Friday, this was like a God thing. I don't know how many of you work with contractors, but they're very hard to get to show up. They don't answer your phone calls. It's challenging, and I experienced the same thing. But this Friday, we had a deadline to meet. We had JT Construction, Evans concrete pump truck, which is very important for this project. We had Pitt Foundations. We had O'Brien's concrete mix, which we only gave them like less than 24-hour notice, all showed up at 11 o'clock on Friday to plow the stem wall. And there was a lot of donations in that. The pump truck was free. The concrete that was poured was free because it was donated. The labor for all of this was free. Can we praise God for that? So then next is lumber, right? And if you know anything about lumber, lumber prices are going up. If you are by building a house, get your lumber stored already because it's going up. And so the lumber cost was going to be about $13,000 just for the framing. Well, thanks to God and local businesses stepping up, right now we have secured the lumber for about $9,500. And after we secured it, we had an individual that used to attend Flag a long, long time ago that doesn't attend Flag anymore, that show called and said, hey, I want to make a $5,000 donation towards the lumber package. Can we just praise God for that? Okay, so that's how God moves. But God moves when the people of God do their part. And I just want to say thank you for your investing. Thank you for your giving towards the Home of Hope project. We are a long ways from being done. We will be coming to you and talking to you about some other things as far as where you can put in some sweat equity, like painting, doing some landscaping and things of that nature. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Somebody wise told me this. God is in the miracle working business. We have two options. We can stand on the sidelines and watch from the outside, or the train is at the station and it's getting ready to leave. Jump in on the train and be a part of the miracle that's God's working, because then you get to sit back. You get to say, hey, guess what? I was a part of that miracle that God worked because I played my part. So if you have not jumped in, you still have time. Right outside, as you walk out, you will see a display that shows you the renderings that Pitt State has done of the inside of the house. But there are pledge cards that you can make pledges today to continue to help us meet this goal. If you pledged in December, I want to challenge you. If you've forgotten, hey, jump on board. It's not too late. Let's continue to pledge. Continue to see what God will do. When we bring our two fish and five loaves, God feeds the 5,000. Okay, we've got to do our part. So I just want to say, on behalf of Flag Church, on behalf of Elizabeth Deckard, thank you. Here's the other side. We are always about kingdom purpose. This is kingdom-minded. We are blessing Elizabeth because she has a need. But on Friday, when that pump truck was there, that thing is huge. All of Front Neck could see it. There were so many cars that were stopping while I was there and just questions. What's happening? What's happening? We're going to be a light to that community. That is our prayer. We're praying that the love of Jesus and the hope of Jesus will shine through that house, and that will be a light on a hill that is going to bring hope to a community. And so you get to play a part in that as well. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of Flag Church. Hey, we are ready for God's word this morning. I'm excited for the word today. We're continuing our series in prayer. And as we've done each week, I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. I hope by now, man, you've been doing this on a daily basis, that you can do this with your eyes closed. But if you can't, it's going to be on the screen. But can we just pray the Lord's Prayer and let it minister to our hearts as we do this? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. Prayer. And we've been talking a lot about prayer, and if you've missed out on these previous messages, I highly encourage you to go find our Flag Church app, website, and you can catch up on the messages. But prayer is a pathway to being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus, and we'll see that a lot today. It's access that we have through to the throne room because of the sacrifice of Jesus. You and I have access to come into the most holy of holies. We looked at that about 3 weeks ago. I hope if you weren't here that you would pick up on that message, the powerful word there. And an altar, we talked about an altar, a place to run to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not run from. But let me tell you, in the last 2 weeks, not last week, but the previous 2 weeks, man, we've opened the altars, and there has been some powerful things that have happened, things that people that have been set free from bondage. This morning, man, I get here early, and there was a gentleman that showed up because he thought practice was early, and man, we got to have a powerful time just praying because of what happened at the altar 2 weeks ago, and God just showed up and revealed some stuff. And this is what happens at the altar. It's a place of freeing, not a place of bondage, okay? There is freedom that happens at the altar. We're called to run to the altar, not run from it. And this week, we're going to start diving into the various altars that God is asking us to build in our lives. Because here's what, Flag Church, the church has walked away from the altar. And till we walk back or crawl back or whatever you want to do to the altar, our lives are not going to change. Because the only way your life is going to change is when you meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the place to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is at the altar. And so we're going to talk about different altars, and this is going to be challenging for each of us, and it should be for every single one of us, because we're called to stretch and continue to grow in our faith. So help us do that. I want to read a passage of scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6, and here's what it says. But when you pray, not if, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Okay, first off, we're praying to our Father, our Heavenly Father who loves us. There's no condemnation there. No, there's no beating that happens at the altar. But there is love and there is freedom because we're coming to our Heavenly Father. And so we need to understand that when we pray, we're praying to our Heavenly Father. When you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in heaven. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you in private. What does that mean? A place to be alone with God. A secret place with God. A secret place where we get to connect with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, some have taken this verse and used it out of context, saying, oh, yeah, my faith and my prayer life should be very private. It shouldn't be public. That is not what the scripture is saying. And we'll look at that next week of how public prayer is so very important. We see Jesus praying in public many times. We see Jesus praying over the two fish and five loaves. We see Jesus praying over Lazarus before he raised him from the dead. We see Jesus praying on the cross, the most public place, and he prayed in public. But we also see Jesus having a quiet time with the Father, where he goes into private prayer by himself to be strengthened by the Father, because Jesus knew that he was able to have his spiritual authority that he had only when he prayed in private with the Father. His private prayer is what made his public prayer even more powerful. And if we struggle to pray in public, it's very possible that we struggle to pray in private. Because our private prayer is what forms us to be effective in our public prayer. So what is Matthew 6 telling us to do? It is calling us to have a personal altar. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, a personal altar, where each of us needs to have this personal place that we meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A personal place, a secret place with the Father, a meeting place on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday, but on a daily basis, where there are no interruptions, no distractions, but complete devotion to Him. How many of you know that when you start praying, you always get distracted? You always get interrupted. Your phone goes off. There's a notification. There's a crisis happening that has to be resolved right now, right? Exactly. Because that's how the enemy works. He wants to distract you from the most powerful thing that you can do in your life, which is a personal time with God. And so moving into a space where there are no distractions, interruptions, so that with complete devotion to the Father, so that you can spend time in conversation with Him, to find a place where you can draw near to Him, because Scripture says, when I draw near to Him, what does He do? He draws near to us, and He draws near to me. A secret place also known as a personal altar. So we're talking about the altar, and the altar, a few weeks back, we unpacked the altar. It was defined as a safe place. A lot of us have this vision that the altar is a bad place, right? It's a place where, man, if I showed up, people are going to say, what kind of sin does he have? Oh, man, what kind of guilt is he dealing with today? Oh, man, what did she do this week that she had to go to the altar, right? I've had these conversations in our life group. It's real. Everyone has these conversations. So if you're having this conversation in your head right now, you're not the only one having this conversation. We're all having the same conversation, because that's what the enemy wants us to believe. The altar is not a safe place, but the altar is a safe place, and we are asked to approach the altar with confidence. Why can we approach the altar with confidence? Because of what happened last week, Easter. Because of what happened last week, because Jesus went to the cross, he died for you and me, he rose on the third day, he ascended to heaven, he's seated on the at the right hand of the Father, inviting us and saying, because of my price I paid for you, because of my ultimate sacrifice that I paid for you, you have access to come and meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come, because I'm interceding on behalf of you, I'm inviting you to come. You and I have access through to the throne room. And so there is an invitation that the Father gives us, and we are called to come with confidence. Today I want us to look at that secret place, a personal altar. An altar, and I say this, an altar is a place of death. And you're like, whoa, 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 hold on, hold on. You just said it was a safe place. You just said that it's a place we can run to. It's a safe place. It's... But what is? Why would I run to a place of death? I mean, that's scary, isn't it? But let me help you understand that an altar is a place of death because it is a dying that happens that leads to life, a dying of our old selves that leads to life, a transformation that starts to happen. Last week we talked about the great reversal. The great reversal of the cross and the resurrection. And when we come to the altar, there's a resurrection that starts to happen because we die to our old selves. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, this is not going to be on your screen, so if you want to turn to it, you're welcome to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. And here's what it says. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, old self, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now, because you've asked Jesus into your heart, you must get rid of yourself of such things as these. You've got to remove these out of your life. I mean, you give your life to Jesus Christ, but there's a removal that needs to happen. What are the things? Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, which is given to you by the Father at the altar, in the image of its creator. So there is a transformation that happens at the altar. There's a dying of your old self. There's a dying of your lifestyle that used to live before Jesus. I call it the BC, before Christ. And then you have the after Christ. And there's a change that starts to happen at the altar. If you were to step back into the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, there was the altar. There was everything revolved around the altar. And people would come to the altar, bringing their sacrifices to the high priest, who would then sacrifice it on the altar and then take that to God and be the intercessor or the in-between person that played that part. And so we see that people will bring sacrifices to the altar. Now, this was in place of covering their sin. The sacrifice would just cover their sin. It won't cleanse them of their sin. The cleansing process never happened. And that is why the Father looked down and said, I'm sending my Son, who's going to be the ultimate sacrifice. And because of him, you will receive complete cleansing of your sin. And Jesus died on that cross in Calvary for you and me, so that we can come and then receive freedom that we see. So why? What happens at the altar? There is a before Jesus life. You all know what that is. A before Jesus life that still is there in our life, that has to keep dying to become more like Jesus. Because remember, prayer is what? Being with Jesus and becoming like Jesus. Well, before Jesus, we had a living in this world life. But to be with Jesus and become like Jesus, we come to the altar and there is a transformation that starts to happen. Our addictions and things that our languages, our habits, our lifestyles have to change. If we came to Jesus and our lifestyle still looks the same before Jesus, I'm going to have to ask you to question yourself. Was your conversion real? Did you really meet Jesus? Did you really surrender your life to Jesus? Because if your lifestyle still looks the same like it did before Jesus, Maybe it was just an outward acknowledgement, but not an inward transformation. When we come to Jesus, there has to be inward transformation, a life change. People should look at you and go, oh, who are you? Is Ryan Swatkin in the house? I'd see. I remember him walking in one day with his daughter to youth ministry and said, you're my youth pastor? I don't think my daughter should stay here. I knew your life before Christ. There is a change. If there's not a change, then you didn't meet Jesus. So there's a dying that needs to happen. The old is gone and the new has come. The great reversal that we talked about last week. Paul talked about this when he penned these words in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, is what Paul is saying to the church in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has given you, your mercy, to offer your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that is your true and proper worship. Your true and proper worship is when you come to the altar, your personal altar, and you say, hey, guess what? I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I'm coming to the altar, the personal altar, so that you can change me, you can transform me, so that things of my old can die and new things can come. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice at our personal altars. So what happens at the personal altar? A private place. Keep in mind a private place because God is dealing with our sinful things or maybe our lifestyles. And I'm sure you don't want that happening in public, do you? And that's one of the reasons we come to a private place with God is because, one, we are not interrupted. Second, God is able to talk to us and gently nudge us and help us say, hey, that part there needs to leave so that we can continue to grow with me. That part there needs to change. Hey, that relationship needs to shift. Hey, that lifestyle of spending needs to change. Hey, maybe that way that you go to the internet for this stuff needs to shift. And he will prompt, he will gently nudge us at the altar. So this morning, I want to help us understand this from the Old Testament. Using the Old Testament sacrificial process, there are three steps that happens at a personal altar. Okay? The first step, the part removed. The part removed. Now, I'm going to let you know some of the stuff that the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, we were meeting with our elders, and I said, man, I'm so thankful I don't have to do that kind of sacrificial process right now, because I'm not sure how that would all go. It would be pretty scary, right? So I'm going to read some stuff to you and how that sacrificial system worked, that Jesus finally took that and shifted it, and it might kind of shock you if you've never read the Old Testament, but this is going to help us understand what God is asking us to do at the altar, the part removed. Okay, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. But he must take whatever is left of the bull, its hide, its meat, its head, legs, internal organs, and dung, and carry it away to a place outside the camp. This is the animal that has been sacrificed for the sin offering. These pieces need to be carried away and placed outside the camp that is ceremonially clean and the place where the ashes are dumped. There on the ash heap, he will burn it on a wood fire. So here was a process that was happening in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament before Jesus. So how does this apply to our lives? So what we see here is instruction has been given to remove parts that are considered impure of this animal sacrifice. There are certain parts that were not pure. They were supposed to be removed and taken outside the camp. Okay, the camp in those days were where the people hung out, and they wanted to keep the camp clean and pure of impurities. In your context, that will be your life. Your body becomes a holy temple. It is the camp where Jesus, the Spirit of God, comes and lives. And so what we see here is it's saying taking the parts that are impure, that are unpleasing to God, and taking them outside of the camp to a place where ashes are dumped. And they're on the ash heap. So basically what we see is consistently they were going to a certain place because there was a lot of ash dumped. And there was a heap of ash sitting there. And on that same spot, they burnt it on the wood fire. So we come to this familiar place on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, to meet the same place, the altar, our personal altar at our home, that we come to meet with God to remove the part, remove the part that is unpleasing, parts that God says is not good, because we want to clean our camp. A cleansing that needs to happen daily in our lives. Because we live in a world that we get contaminated by sin. Because we get tempted and we do things that are not pleasing to God. So we come to this personal altar, a secret place where the unconfessed sin, the evil desires, the unholy motives that we have in our mind are revealed to us by our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father prompts us and He says, hey, have you thought of that lifestyle? Have you thought of the way you respond? Have you thought of that language? Have you thought of the ways that you go about this? Because here's the thing, guys, our bodies is a holy temple. I have wrestled with this part all week. And I think it's easy for us as Christians to look on the outside and say, hey, yeah, man, I'm not like that person. I'm not caught up in that big sin that they're doing where maybe they're cheating on their wife, or maybe, man, he has tax fraud or whatever. He's doing this, gambling, and man, there is a lot of big sin happening, but I'm so good, right? Are we so good? Second Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? So what is an idol? Gossip? Lies? Anger? Jealousy? Maybe fighting, language that we use. Here's something I'm going to touch on. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says alcohol is a sin. But alcohol consumption and what it does to your body after you consume alcohol can become a sin. The way you respond maybe to your spouse or to your kids. Or maybe the language that you use, because you don't even know what you're using, because you've consumed more and now your mind is leading you in a direction that maybe is not honoring to God. I'm just asking the question. I want you to wrestle with that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say gambling is a sin. But maybe it gets to a point where we start to use funds that we shouldn't be using, that is causing our family to be crippled, and man, that's causing tension between marriages. And is that honoring to God? What do we do when some of these things where we flirt with the things of this world, that then we don't realize that it's causing us to maybe step into a space, and then you ask the question, if Jesus was here with me right now, will this be honoring to Him? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. That's God's word. Your body is a holy temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them and walk amongst them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Does that remind you of the Garden of Eden before sin? God is saying, I want to do that again with you. I want to do that. I want to walk with you. I want to do life with you. I want to be in communion with you. I want to interact with you. I don't want you to walk this life by yourself. Therefore, come out from them and be separated, says the Lord. Come out of the things of this world. Don't keep living in this world. Don't try to live in the world and tell me that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Doesn't work that way. It's a great reversal. There's a shift that starts to happen. And when you do that, And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. That's when I will show up and bless you. But you keep flirting with the things of this world, and you realize that your body is a holy temple. We can't understand this till we come to the personal altar. When we come to the personal altar, God gently reminds us. The things that other people say may feel like, oh man, that feels kind of like they're pushing at me. But when God prompts you, I've heard this story. There is a good friend of who's a pastor who, I know it's kind of scary, but he came to the personal altar. There was some unhealth happening in his life with his marriage, and God kept prompting him and kept prompting him, and he kept walking away, and he kept walking away, and he stopped praying, and then one day he woke up and he realized that his life was in shambles, and his church was in shambles. It's the same for us, for every single person. When we come to that personal altar, God is able to prompt us and tell us, hey, have you thought of this? Well, this part that needs to be removed, it needs to be removed because it's not honoring to me, because there are things in your life that is not honoring to me. Secondly, the part shared. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 25 and 26. The sin offering is to be slaughtered before the Lord in the place the burnt offering is slaughtered. It's most holy. The priest who offers it shall eat it, and it is to be eaten in the sanctuary area, in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. So what is happening here? So the first one is the part removed when we come to that personal altar. Second is the part to be shared. So what we see here is, and this offering is the part that the priest is to offer, but to eat. This is what the priest lived on. Is all the sacrifices that people brought to the temple. When people brought their the animals sacrifices to the temple, there was a part that the priests were given permission to eat off of and to live, because they didn't have that was their job, is to be a priest, and there was no income, so they worked, they lived off of what the people brought. It's very similar to what we see happening in our churches today, is when God says, hey, bring your obedience offering to the church, which is 10% of your tithe, because that is what helps the pastoral team function and the church to function. So there is an offering that is brought to the church, but not just from that standpoint. It is also where we become a service to others. We become a service to others. We give some of our support to help others survive. You guys are doing that through Home of Hope. You guys are doing that through supporting missionaries. You guys are doing that through maybe taking a meal to somebody that is sick. You are doing that in your life groups when you support each other. But there is this giving that starts to happen because we come to the personal altar. We move from being selfish people. Selfish people struggle to give, right? Because they're worried about themselves. To being selfless. Now, if you look at our marriages and our family dynamics, there is a struggle that is happening in marriages right now. There's a breakdown that's happening in the institution of marriage that was the only institution that God created. And one of the biggest reasons that there is a breakdown in the marriage institution is because people have become selfish. It's what I want, not what my spouse wants. It's how can I get what I need? You need to serve me. That's how we become when we are not in the presence of God. But when we step into our personal altar on a daily basis, there's a breakdown of that selfishness, and we start to become selfless people, and our marriages start to become healthier. Our kids start to become healthier. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about the corporate, the communal altar and praying together with your spouse. But there is a health that starts to happen in your relationships. God changes the way we think about our rights, our finances, our desires, and our time. Having placed them at the altar, God is able to use them in new ways. Because let me remind you, everything you have is His. You may think it's not, but everything you have and own is His. And when you bring it back to Him, He says, let me use this the right way. Let me take your two fish and five loaves and let me feed the 5,000. And that happens at the personal altar. You can't be a selfless person by not spending time at the personal altar. The times you stop spending time at the personal altar, you start to become selfish. When we're not at that personal altar, we become selfish. when others make demands of us or expect things from us or use us in ways that we did not agree to, it frustrates us, irritates us. We get defensive. If you do that right now, you should ask that question, why does that frustrate me? Why do I get defensive? Oh, that's my time. How come you ask me to give of my time and serve? Oh, that's my finances. Why would you ask me to give of my finances? Oh, I can't do that. Who are you to ask me that, right? Well, last week we were reminded and reflect of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, who did not come to be served, but to serve. And to go to the altar, the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. When we're at that personal altar, God reworks our heart and things shift. This is a hard concept to wrap our head around because it is like becoming like Jesus. And it takes us time at the personal altar. And lastly, the part consumed, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. We shall remove all the fat from the bull, sin offering, and the fat that is connected to the inner internal organs, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobs of liver, which will be removed from the kidneys. Just as the fat is removed from the ox sacrifice as a fellowship offering, then the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offerings. This is the best part of the sacrifice. The best part of the sacrifice is then taken and taken to the altar and is burnt, and a sweet aroma rises up to the heavenly places where the Father is rejoicing and celebrating. And so what we see here is that the best part is, there's a part that is removed, there's a part that is shared, but the best part is reserved for you and me. To spend time with the Father, to be in His presence, to enjoy His presence, to enjoy His company, to sit and to visit and to enjoy what He has for us. When we sit there and we present our time, we can't present our time to Him if we have not separated the sin. We can't present our time to Him if we have not shared our life with others. When we do that, our lives become purified to where the presence of God comes down to sit and to meet with us, to spend time with us, so that we can be in that place to be honest with Him, honest about how we feel, to struggle through our difficulties, to argue, to confess, to receive, and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in that secret place that we meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is beauty that starts to emerge. Our cleansing of our lives helps us do that. This week has been an interesting week. In my life, in our lives, just coming out of Easter, man, it's just like you've got Easter and I'm like, yes, Easter is done. It was so busy and we've got a week to rest and catch up, right? But that's not how it turned out. On Tuesday, I had to do a funeral for a good friend who lost her mom. Driving back from that funeral, I get a phone call that a family that attends our church here loses a six-year-old child. I got to do a funeral for a six-year-old child on Thursday of this week. On Thursday, one of our vehicles goes down. On Friday, the second vehicle goes down, so we're down to one vehicle. Talk about a week. And I'm not sharing that so that you can feel sorry for me but or for us, but this morning was difficult getting up to come preach God's word. But God reminded me. He said, hey, remember that personal altar you're going to be talking about? And so this morning it was me and God at that personal altar. Just being honest. Being brutally honest, God, here's how I feel. Here's what's happening. And in that moment, the presence of God showed up in a way that I've never felt before. To refresh my soul, to encourage me, to build me up. And he was verbally reminding me of who he was. This God is a faithful God. No matter what storm you're going through, we just sang, he's always there. He's our rock and our fortress, our hiding place, the shelter that we come to, where he puts this canopy over us, and he's there to meet with us. But we choose not to come to this personal altar. We choose not to come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only one that can restore and refresh your soul, the only one that can speak life and truth into your life, the only one that can change the trajectory of your life, the only one that can change your current season that you're in, the one that is all-powerful, all-knowing, and we choose not to. So this week, I want to challenge you, build an altar. Decide when you will pray. It's not just going to happen without deciding. Decide, find a time, put it on your calendar. Decide where you will pray. Find a space that you will come to week in and week out, day in and day out. This is my hiding place. This is my shelter. This is my quiet place. And start in the Bible. Because God has given us his word. That is where you start. That is how you learn how to pray. To help you, we'll have this on the screen. We have a reading plan starting tomorrow. We're going to read through the Psalms. Read one psalm a day. If you scan that QR code, it'll prompt you on how to pray. You can go to our app. You can join it there as well. It starts tomorrow. But Flag Church, can we start a personal altar? Let me tell you, this is the most life-transforming thing you can do. You do this and see what God does. You show up and see if he doesn't show up. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me this morning? I know after what I shared today in my life, I showed up and I had four conversations today of people that are going through the same challenges in life. I feel like this week has been a week for some people. And I'm sure there are many of you like that. We don't lead out of our mountaintops. We lead out of our valleys. That is where we find God. And God is inviting us to a personal altar. This morning, as the worship team leads, I'm going to challenge you to come. Come find a spot, you and God. Find a spot where you can meet with God, where you can maybe let God speak to you and say, hey, would you consider leaving that at the altar, changing that lifestyle? Would you consider sharing your life and being more selfless versus selfish, or just so that God can say, hey, I just need to pour into your life this morning. I'm just going to pour out the balm that I have, the soothing oil that I have that is going to soothe your soul because you need it this morning. Would you step out right now, come find a spot before we even start worshiping? We're coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. An altar is a place we run to find healing, to find restoration, to find hope. Don't wait. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy to come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are in a season right now, come find him. If you're not in a season, come find him. Because you can't go wrong by coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is a safe place. Will you come? Will you come find a spot? Lead us out, worship team. And even as they are leading, I encourage you to come. Come find a spot. You and God. Meet with God. And if you're not, let's worship the King of Kings.